Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a wonderful show tonight. Pierre Orlean is back with us, and you remember her when, with her husband, Colin Bard Smith, and Dr. Pierre Orlean with the books on Lockmar, the Palladians. And she's going to talk to us tonight about Sacred Retreat. That's her new book, bestseller. And we're going to, you know, help you start this new year off right by setting the appropriate energy. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But the real question is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners. Intuitive since birth, I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. Find out more about me and the services I offer. Go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com, and I do invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Now, my guest tonight is Dr. Pierre Orlean, and she is one of the world's leading experts on the divine feminine. She's a former practicing psychologist, and she received an international award from Saybrook University for her groundbreaking research on the importance of natural cycles for life. And now she travels the world lecturing on the value of the divine feminine and natural cycles. She is the author of the Inorderless Gold Award winner, Sacred Retreat, Using Natural Cycles to Recharge Your Life, which is a groundbreaking work offering a template for restoring balance to our driven, radically unbalanced society. And with penetrating insight, Dr. Orlean, she gives us a new vantage point to everything else that's going on in our world. And we walk away from either reading her book or reading her website or even listening to her voice with a sense of calm and a sense of renewal that we can move forward. And you can find out more about her by checking out her website, and that's piaorlean.com, P-I-A-O-R-L-E-A-N-E.com. Welcome back, Pia.
Thank you, Monique. I'm so delighted to be with you and your listeners.
I am so glad you're back. I absolutely loved your book, Sacred Retreat, Using Natural Cycles to Recharge Your Life. You've done so much work. You work with the Palladians via Lockmar. You do so much. Why natural cycles and why now?
Well, the why now is because our society is so radically out of balance that we need some stability, some sanity, and some new programming, some new plans about how to do it. Mm-hmm. And the main thing that is important right now is to focus upon how we have separated ourselves from nature and have relied more and more on technology. Not that technology isn't useful, we all need it, but we have turned away from nature in favor of technology. Why writing about this particular topic? That's because everything in life, everything that is living, cycles. Even the galaxies that we live in are in cyclical, they're spirals of cyclical movement. And here on Earth, everything cycles. We don't see cycles when we're paying attention to our daily lives. We look at life as linear. We look at calendars. We read magazines, newspapers. Everything goes on a linear line. We perceive everything moving from past to future and don't even stop to experience the present. So the purpose of this book is to help people return to a natural balance, to recharge themselves and empower themselves to be back in flow and to be back in harmony with nature so that they can have more fulfilling lives.
Well, you know, you said that it's time for people to be back in flow and more fulfilling lives, and you talk about basically artificial intelligence and everything that is going on that detracts us from ourselves. How can we truly come back into a balance where we're able to put the cell phone down for a moment? We don't have to check the PDA every 10 seconds. We're able to just even be with ourselves, much less anybody else.
Well, the first thing we have to do is stop and pay attention to our breathing. There's an out-breath and there's an in-breath, and both of those are important in order for us to have a fully functioning breath. We have to inhale and we have to exhale. And in our modern culture, most of the time, most of us find ourselves constantly inhaling, and then all of a sudden we exhale, and it's like, oh, yes, I remember to breathe. That's not healthy. But it is a good place to start for returning to balance and health, to just notice that we need to exhale. We need to breathe. We're living in a planet that's based in duality. And as I mentioned, not paying attention to cycles that are part of nature is what's causing us to continually hurry, 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 and rush, rush, rush for what comes next instead of breathing into the present moment. So that's a very good place to start. There are other things that I mentioned as examples within this book, and that is simply the fact that we are biological creatures. We have natural cycles also. Everything that lives has cycles. Whales, swallows, butterflies, even rocks are marked by cycles. There's layers and layers of cycles in rock patterns. We watch cycles in tree growth and in water movement. Everything is cycles, and yet we're ignoring that. But as biological creatures, we can stop that. Men have cycles and women have cycles, but women's cycles are more obvious than men's are. We have a bleeding cycle that happens once a month, and that's another good place to start as a marker, because whether you're male or whether you're female, being in the presence of someone who has a bleeding cycle can help you remember, too, oh, it is a good idea to slow down on a regular basis in alignment with what my body needs to do. So the book gives emphasis on how women can set the pattern and set the example for returning to nature. It's not all about menstruation, but it is very much about our cyclical nature and how to use it for balance and health.
Okay. Well, as you said, you know, everybody's familiar with the woman cycle, but not so much the man. So could you talk to us a little bit more about the men and the cycles that they go through? I know when they reach a certain age, they go through andropause, but there must be other cycles that a man's hormonal system goes through before he reaches that point.
Absolutely, there are. Unfortunately, they don't get much attention, and not many studies are done about men's cycles. But as I used to be a practicing psychologist, I've retired from that work now, and I'm not doing that any longer. But the men who came in to see me who wanted to heal and grow became more and more aware of their inner cycles in terms of their emotions.
Okay.
What I mean by that is they would have cyclical periods where they were so stressed out that they would have rage or lash out at their family members or lash out at work. And then once they began to be aware of it, they could notice that those cycles had a certain rhythm within their own makeup. It might happen once a month. It might be every 6 weeks for them. But each man has a biological cycle too. And the way to govern it and understand it in a man is through the emotions he's experiencing and expressing. Very hormonal, just like our women's cycles are hormonal.
So when a man is particularly grouchy or mean, does that mean that he's low in some particular hormone that if maybe he had was able to get that hormone, he could shift his energy like, you know, women do with birth control or pills or other hormones that they may take?
Well, it could be. That could be part of the problem, and he could be low in testosterone, for instance, and need a little bit more, or he might have too much testosterone, or he might need progesterone, which is not a female hormone. It's a hormone we all need. So that's definitely a possibility. But I don't recommend doing hormone replacement therapy. I recommend instead doing replacement therapy of what's missing in my life. Am I not taking enough time for myself? Do I not have any downtime to be creative and to regenerate. That's the missing magic pill that we need, not something we can get in a prescription form.
Yeah, and hopefully so many people will wake up and we're going to be able to discover ourselves. As I was reading your book and the cycles within the book, everything to me came back to self-discovery, looking at that the cycles within yourself. Before the show, this recording, I shared with you that I'm a bit under the weather, and even that to me is part of a cycle. So could you talk to us about how the highs when we're ecstatically happy and the lows when maybe we're depressed or even an illness and when that invades our space, how that becomes part of our overall cycle and to be able to pay attention to that?
Sure. We live under a Hollywood illusion that we're supposed to be happy ever after. We're supposed to have the perfect relationship, the perfect body, the perfect job, the perfect everything. And anytime we step out from under that illusion, we become unhappy automatically. Indigenous people all over the world are happy all the time because they recognize when periods of grumpiness or sadness or whatever are happening, that that's a signal that they're out of balance. And they immediately retreat into nature and rebalance themselves. They look at it as, oh, this is just a signal that something's out of whack, and I need to come back into balance. So to restore ourselves, we have to step out from under the illusion that Hollywood has perpetrated on us, that we have to be perfect, that we have to be healthy every minute, that we can't have a cold, which can be a cleansing time. Mm-hmm. Having a cold or a flu or something like that can be a period where our body says, I want to purge some material that I've been working on emotionally, or maybe I've been working physically too hard, and I want you to honor me, so I'm going to be sick for a little while you allow me to purge. Instead of trying to take home the computer and do work while we're at home in bed, we should just put everything aside, allow the body to do what it needs to in its own cycle, and be thankful that the cycle is allowing us a new beginning. It's getting rid of the old, and it's bringing in something new, so we can start again fresh and be much more productive by having a period of rest and regeneration.
And you know what, folks? If you don't take that period of rest and regeneration, you get even sicker to the point where you have no choice. So, you know, it's important to pay attention to that flow, that cycle, so that you can, you know, have your uptime and your downtime and just be in the rhythm of life. Well, folks, we're speaking with Dr. Pia Orlane. We're talking about her latest book. It's called Sacred Retreat, Using Natural Cycles to Recharge Your Life. You can check her out at her website because she has so much information there for you, and that is piaorlane.com, PIAORLEANE.com. Now, Pia, you talk about cycles throughout this wonderful book that you've written. How can nature affect our personal relationships?
Oh, that's a good one. Relationships we think of as intimate or personal relationships, but we don't really recognize that everything that we experience is a relationship. And the starting point for all relationships is the relationship we have with ourselves. Do we berate ourselves and say that we're too fat or we're too ugly or we're too slow or are we whatever? Or do we actually say, oh, I'm learning a lesson here, I could do that better, and then start over again and say, but I still like myself? That's the essential point of relationship. And nature teaches us that we're acceptable no matter what, as long as we continue to grow from the lessons that are set in front of us. As long as we say, oh, okay, well, it's raining, and now I've learned to come in out of the rain, nature's giving us a lesson to do that. The idea of everything being a relationship starts with the self. It radiates out to the planet. It radiates to everything in nature herself. And affecting our personal relationships, it becomes most profoundly home. Comes home right there, because everything that we're not connected with in nature or in ourselves will be reflected back to us in disharmony in the relationship. Now, like everything, relationships have cycles also. So there are periods within each relationship where you're more drawn to your partner. You want to spend time together. You want to share everything. And then there's another space in the relationship where you need to step back to reintegrate who you are as a person, and the other one needs to do the same thing. If you haven't fallen in love with yourself and have a good personal relationship, When the relationship, intimate relationship, partnership reaches that part of the cycle where it's time for distancing, all kind of dysfunctional belief systems can surface. Oh, he doesn't love me anymore. Oh, she doesn't have time for me. She's being selfish. All of these personal belief systems come to the surface because we haven't started with a basic relationship with ourselves and with the world.
Okay. How do you say you everything that you're saying someone is buying into, they completely believe it, but their partner or significant other is not necessarily there? What can one do to open someone's eyes? Because I don't think that you can change people. I think you present information and they can either take it or not. So what could someone do to help someone else see the light, so to speak?
Thank you. Good question. I completely agree with you. The only person we can ever change is ourselves. However, if you start to make changes on your own to how you start to respond rather than react in any kind of relationship or any kind of circumstance, your outer environment will automatically change because you're no longer engaging in it in the same way, in the same old pattern. So maybe your partner is not interested in this. Maybe your partner doesn't want to understand that the relationship has cycles and wants to cling to a belief that you're not paying him or her enough attention. Mm-hmm. That's okay. You just continue being who you are, knowing that you're doing what's the right thing, and be compassionate and smile to the time of the separation and say, this is just what I need to do right now for me, but I still love you. I'm still here. And the other person then gets the opportunity to either feel, oh, I can feel peaceful about this, this is okay, or they have the opportunity to say, I don't like this, I'm not in control, and therefore I'm going to be angry about it. Mm-hmm. That becomes your cue to be empowered to stay the course and to say, no, this may be a little rocky and uncomfortable now, but if I'm true to my heart and true to myself and honor the cycles that I know are real, it's going to benefit the relationship all the way around. I did a study before I wrote this book. I had a PhD dissertation study where I had a large group of women who had to do certain things like keep a journal, answer a questionnaire, and go through interviews. And at the end of the study, I interviewed their husbands also. And they had certain practices they had to do within the period of the study. At the end, when I was interviewing the husbands, I actually had one man say, thank you so much for inviting my wife to be part of this study. I've been married to her for 17 years, and I've never known why she gets angry with me. He said, now I understand, and we are so much closer. Mm. So it's really important, even if it's uncomfortable, that you stay the ground, follow your own natural instincts of cycling in your own heart, and then the other person gets to understand from their perspective if they want to grow. And if they don't, maybe the relationship falls apart because that's what needs to happen for both people to be able to be more fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So if you're in a situation like that, how do you know when it's time to cut bait and run, as opposed to sticking it out and working it through? Is it an individual preference?
I think there's a pretty easy key to that. When you're feeling like, okay, I can't stick this out another minute, check and see if you're being emotional. If you're really angry, if you're really grieving, if you're really frustrated and there's a strong emotion there, then you've got some work to do on yourself. But if you're kind of calmly, peacefully saying, you know, I don't feel the connection here, and he's angry or depressed or demanding or whatever, or she's this, that, or the other all the time, and you're feeling like, I've done everything I can, and I can calmly, in good space and good faith of heart, I can say, I can't do this anymore. That's when you leave. But the key to it is noticing how emotional you are, because if you're emotional, probably the relationship still has something that needs to be addressed. And I'm not speaking about abusive relationships. If there's abuse ongoing in any relationship, I suggest that it be dissolved immediately.
Okay. In your book, you talk about listening to enhance interpersonal relationships. Could you share with the audience a bit about that, please?
Sure. In our fed-up culture right now, we are often so busy thinking of what we're going to say next to get our point across that we don't even slow down enough to really hear what the other person's saying. Whether that's a child tugging at us, going, Mommy, look at this, pay attention to this while we're trying to cook dinner. Or whether maybe it's our partner talking about a new business venture and we're so exhausted from our day's activities we can't fully listen. It doesn't really matter what the circumstance or the excuse may be. Mm-hmm. If you really want to communicate, you absolutely have to allow space for full listening. That means you stop what you're doing, you engage with the other person, you take a breath in, and you simply listen. You don't think about what you're going to say next. You don't say, here we go again, or I'm too tired. You just listen. And then you take another space and another breath in, and you respond rather than reacting. And that enhances true deep communication instead of this surface stuff that we so often do. We're misunderstanding rules today instead of deep committed communication.
Well, I think that you said a key couple of words there. You said respond and not react. And I think so often we're in reactionary mode because we feel that we have to win or be on top of it, as opposed to truly just being in that, I don't know, mindfulness moment with that other person.
Oh, Monique, you're right on my target page right now. You're talking about the way that our culture has enhanced our desire to be competitive instead of enhancing our desire to be cooperative. When you said we have to be right on top of it, our entire culture is about competing with one another, even within an intimate relationship. We feel like we have to be right. We have to get our point across. We never stop to think, well, maybe both of us are right and we can share both of our perspectives and have a fuller view. That's the key point of this book when I say we need to return to nature, because nature is not competitive. Nature is cooperative. Everything that happens in nature happens for the highest good of all. And that's why we have to return to a place of recognizing that we ourselves are nature too. We cannot respond like technological automatons constantly competing for the next level of performance. Mm-hmm. It's breaking apart our families, our inner selves is just tearing us apart. Our environment, we have to change it.
Yeah, we do have to change it. Now, I'm in California. You're actually calling in from the Middle East. And, you know, there's such a difference between California and the Middle East. But yet and again, it's the same because there's such interesting energies running through the cycles of California and the Middle East. So how do these natural cycles here, where you're at, any place, contribute to our ill health or our lack of connection or even war? I mean, you know, we're here in the United States, you know, the government is thinking about, you know, maybe starting all these little wars all over the place. How can we cycle, I guess, through that?
Well, in terms of war, the essence to that is learning to listen. I mean, you can look at the reactive things that we see in our leaders all the time and instantly reacting to something they hear. They get angry, they rage, they make a show, they want to really show, I'm strong, I'm powerful. We don't have somebody like Gandhi who is saying, no, that's not the way to do things. We need to listen to what the other side has to say. Mm-hmm. So to step away from war, we have to go back to that point we were speaking of a minute ago, and that's truly listening to what the other side says, listening to what their needs are, and then saying, well, how can I contribute and cooperate while still meeting my own needs? Most of the wars that we're engaged with are done from a reactionary stance, and most of the leaders pump up those foot soldiers who are going to be engaged by the war, in the war, by giving them a dogma that they attach to in an emotional state. Once they become emotional, they become easy to control, and they will be directed into a line of war under a false illusion of, well, I'm doing this for my country, instead of, I'm doing this for the world and for global peace. So it comes back again to stopping to take a breath, stopping to listen, stopping to try to cooperate with one another instead of competing again. That's the key thing.
Okay. Now, in the book, you talk about the energy and the power of words. Talk to us about that, because in the book, you had one thing where we're talking about women's cycles and all the negative words that were created around a woman's cycle, and, you know, the cycle helps produce life. So talk to us about the power of the words that we use and how we can possibly cycle some out.
I'll start with some very easy examples. Most of the things that we say as cliches in our daily living, we do it because we've heard it everywhere and we think it's the way to communicate, but and it's expressing a point, but we may not stop to think about the meaning. And I use the examples in the book about the way women's cycles have been maligned and called really horrible names to make a point of how it has denigrated women and the fact that cycles have not been honored and respected. But the use of words is powerful for all of us. The example I'd like to give your listeners now is, I'd like to kill two birds with one stone. Now, that's an ancient hunting term that was used back in biblical days when they used slingshots to try to prepare to catch food. And to be able to get two birds with one stone put food on the table. But that is certainly not appropriate in the way that we use it today. The idea that we would kill something to be able to achieve something is not for the highest good of all. More and more in the spirit of collaboration, we're being led to examine every choice we make and ask, what is this doing? Do I want to kill two birds with one stone? What about making two birds sing when I open my window? Mm-hmm. Couldn't that be a joyful way of expressing accomplishment and achievement instead? So somehow we need to start changing our languaging to remove the violence that is permeated throughout our culture. We have violence everywhere, movies, television, and our everyday languaging.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You talk about changing the languaging, which I agree with. However, on the other side, you've got social media and all these memes and all of these other things that I really still don't understand. And so it's like taking language away from us. And it's putting symbols out there, which I guess is okay to a degree, but not a lot of those symbols represent something that seems to be positive or even uplifting. How do we even wrap our minds around that so that we can not all of a sudden be in a world of just negative symbols that are constantly bombarding us and affecting our psyches in more ways than one?
Well, we start by trying to change the system. And the way we change the system is stop giving our children iPads and cell phones when they're 2 years old and teaching them to swipe their finger across, because we're encouraging them and engaging them with the idea of becoming non-social and engaging only with technology, only with what can be typed in and a few symbols or words. They start that quite young. And by the time they're grown, they may not want to take the time to do the things we're talking about, which is stop and listen, take a breath. And I have to say, as a former practicing psychologist, that type of behavior leads to teen suicide quite often, because when they start to become emaciated from the home environment, they start to step out into the world on their own. Frequently, they reach a point of saying, what's it worth? Why am I doing this? Because they have not been taught to get into nature, to appreciate a sunrise, to stop and smell a flower, to listen to somebody, a friend who's talking to them. They're dashing off their next email or their next text in 3 seconds, and their nervous system, especially the young ones, are being just bombarded with this too fast of a pace. Mm-hmm. So if we want to change this, we've got to start with our children, and that means we have to demonstrate it for them. We have to say, no, I'm not going to be on the computer while I'm cooking dinner or whatever. I'm going to put the computer away. I'm done with work for today. I'm not going to check emails tonight. Let's have some family time. Well, let's go for a walk after dinner. Or let's spend Saturday going on a hike. We have to start instituting these changes ourselves so that our kids will be interested and engaged in the idea of returning to nature in favor of constantly having their devices in front of their face.
Oh, good luck with that, millennials, and I have too. You can't seem to get them out of their devices. I was watching a young dad in the neighborhood walk his baby in the stroller not too long ago, and he had his phone. He was glued to his phone, and you know, he just walked right out in the middle of the street and almost got hit by a car because he didn't even stop at the sidewalk. He just kept right on going. And I was like, wow, you know, how disconnected can you be from yourself? And then you're putting your baby's life in danger.
They are disconnected because they're totally engaged with an artificial rhythm of living. It is not real life. And I'm sorry that they're going through this because they think they're all just fine, but there comes a point where it comes crashing in on. It could have come crashing in on a car crash and killed them, at that particular example you just gave. Mm-hmm. But it also can come crashing down in other ways. Let's say there's a 20-year-old couple who's been going out for several months. They're sexually engaged. They do all the same things. They really like each other. And yet when they spend time together, each of them is on their own smartphone, texting and doing whatever they do. And they're not really spending time with each other. One or the other of them is going to find something a little more fascinating and going to shock the other one by falling out of love, falling out of the relationship. And they won't even know it's happening because they're not paying attention to each other. So they can't nourish the relationship and make it grow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Dr. P, I think you should come up with a program to introduce to the tech companies out there to advanced technology, which is fine, but also to help people engage on a human level, because I think it's very much needed. Folks, we're speaking with Dr. Pia Orlean. We're talking about her latest book, Sacred Retreat, Using Natural Cycles to Recharge Your Life. You can check her out at her website, and that is piaorlean.com, PIAORLEANE.com. Now, Pia, in your book, you talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that's intuition. You talk about the power of listening to your intuition. Talk to us about that, because, you know, when I tell people to listen to their intuition, they're like, yeah, right. And you know, they call me and say, well, what's my intuition? So talk to people about the power of listening to their own intuition.
Oh, that's a great topic. That takes us back again to the listening aspect, which we don't do. If we don't slow down and listen to others in our world that are around us, we pretty much discount slowing down to listen to that little voice that speaks in our head. And the clearest way to get it across to people that there is a real voice of intuition that we all have is to stop and think about the times when you had a feeling, I should do this or I shouldn't do that. And yet logic got in the way and you went, oh, that doesn't make sense. And you went ahead and did or didn't do whatever it was. And then it was proved out that you should have done what your little small voice told you. That is the power of intuition, speaking up and saying, I'm here, I'm guiding you, all you have to do is listen. I noticed that when people in my program, when I was doing my study, when they started taking a designated time out of their lives to go into a retreat and to listen to their own thoughts, to listen to their own emotions, to have space to breathe without having to react or respond to anybody else, but just being with themselves, when they did that, their intuition increased. Not only did their intuition increase, but their meaningful dreams increased also. So we're not going to have the wisdom of our intuition or our guidance dreams if we don't allow space to clear out our heads and our hearts from all the busyness of the mundane every day. We have to allow the space for the divine to come into us to give us the push of, here's your next step, here's what you need to do next, or this is why you need to do this or that. That's the voice of intuition, and it is connected to our heart. We as a culture are trained to think the brain, the mind, is the highest God. Knowledge is king. Well, from my perspective, knowledge is not king. Knowledge is something that changes like facts every day. Facts are always changing. But wisdom, which comes from the heart, is higher than knowledge because wisdom is knowledge with experience. Wisdom is knowledge with feeling. Wisdom is knowledge with empathy and caring. So we have to start honoring the wisdom of the heart and slowing down to listen so that we can hear it.
But how do we slow down? I mean, you said it. We've got the TV. We've got social media. We have all of these distractions, and some people feel that they just can't break away. Now, I have no problem at all turn off the TV, and I don't answer texts until I'm good and ready, and I won't answer your email unless, you know, I'm good and ready. But a lot of people aren't in that space. So how can we get to the point where we feel it's socially acceptable to manage our own time again, because it's like we're being wound up by some external force?
Well, one of the things that we have to do is have a desire for change. If the desire for change is not there, then no change is going to happen. But Monique, I happen to feel that all these people who are saying, I can't unplug, actually do have a desire for change. I actually think there is an undercurrent going throughout our entire culture saying, this isn't working. I need something that's more meaningful. I need something that feeds me, that I have more connection with. I think that undercurrent is rippling out everywhere, and they're just not paying attention to it, so they speed up more and more and more to keep the fear of being unfulfilled and disconnected from entering into who they are. So I think they have to have the desire first, and if they don't, eventually speeding up and speeding up and speeding up will cause some kind of collision where they're forced to slow down, and then they're forced to say, oh, I need to do this differently. I prefer that people maintain their own internal power of choice and make a committed choice to start doing it differently. One of the things that Cullen and I did this year for 2019 is we created a calendar that's based on energy rather than time. And this calendar gives you a guideline of how to feel the energy of each day and how to flow with it, rather than looking at the Gregorian calendar of, oh, it's Monday, I have to do the laundry. Oh, it's Tuesday, I have to go pick up the groceries. Oh, it's Saturday, I should have the day off, but I have all these errands. If you do things according to the energy that is present, you start to break the spell of the linear calendar, and you start to be able to live in the cycles that we're talking about.
And that opens up your mind and your heart, and it brings more love into your life. I guess it's, you know, really about being fluid, because that's basically what you're talking about in your book with Sacred Retreat, about being fluid in the moment, allowing the cycles to cycle through, if you will.
Yes, absolutely about being fluid. And how many people stop to think that we are somewhere between 80 and 98% water, depending on our age and our cellular makeup? We are water beings. We're not supposed to be these solid, dense forms that just plod on day after day like slaves to the linear calendar. We are supposed to be fluid, and we are supposed to respond, not react, to the energy that is presented to us, so that we can have fulfilling lives that are peaceful and harmonious. That's our divine birthright, but we've forgotten how to attain it.
Well, it's time to remember. Now, you know, you and your husband also work with the Palladians, and Lockmore in particular. What are the Palladians saying about the cycles of the Earth and possibly even the universe?
That we're at a time where the energies are giving us an opportunity to remember who we are and to open to being the true selves that we can be, the fluid beings that can become cosmic citizens. Once we step away from all the old patterning of beliefs, once we step away from all the combative competition and begin to cooperate with each other, once we start to truly listen and heed the voice of intuition, as we begin to do things, we raise our vibration to a higher and higher level, and we start to attain the kind of world that we've dreamed about. We start to see that we can actually be co-creators of a harmonious world. They say that the energies that are coming in 2019 are here to absolutely break apart everything that doesn't work, and that as it breaks apart, as we expand our hearts, we open the possibilities of how we can do it differently. But we have to live through the breaking apart before the new is born. It's a little bit like a mother giving birth to a child. Her water's got to break, and she's got to go through the labor pains before the child is here. But, oh, is it worth it when she gets through all that? That's where we are. We're right where the water's about to break and the labor pains are starting, and the new birth of us as divine sparks of light, as the new humans who live in peace and harmony, we're on the brink of that.
But do the Palladians feel that we have to go through this birthing period, a war or some type of major upheaval, in order for this to happen, or can it be a bit more gentle?
Major upheaval, yes, but not in terms necessarily of war. The major upheaval is the giving up of all the things that are deeply entrenched in our subconscious. All the old beliefs that we have about who we thought we were, all the beliefs we have about tribalism, you know, the me versus them, the you versus me kind of thinking that we have, that's a radical change. And that's a major upheaval because it is a vast letting go of, I need to be right, and instead say, well, we can both be right. So yes, the Pleiadians do feel that we've got to go through a major upheaval of sorts, but it's internal. It doesn't have to be external. However, that being said, the earth needs to do a bit of shifting and cleansing on her own, like getting a cold. And there will be periods of things that we're seeing now, like forest fires and torrential rains and more storms, more earthquakes. All of these are little things of Mother Earth doing her own cleansing, having her own cold, her own realignment, this part of the process.
So it's part of Earth's ascension process, or is it part of Earth's process to help us as physical beings on her land to wake up?
Well, everything is connected because everything is energy. So the way I feel and think about this is that Earth is in a definite ascension process of changing forms, but we're part of Earth. So we can go along with that and be part of that ascension process too as we change forms. And I don't necessarily mean from living into dying. I mean making more conscious choices where we gain more abilities, where we learn how to shapeshift according to what is needed in the moment, where we're eating a diet that doesn't take a life in order to sustain ourselves, where we're making choices to extend compassion and kindness to somebody rather than judging them. Those things are also part of the ascension process. We are working our way through the higher vibrations just as the earth is working her way through the higher vibrations.
Okay. So there's light at the end of that proverbial tunnel. It's just that we need to get there.
It's not even at the end of the tunnel, Monique. It's all the way around us now. It's just sometimes that we may feel like we've just got a match in a dark room, but it's there. That light is still there. And the more we focus upon the light that we are, the more we can bring the light into our dark environment, dispelling the clouds and bringing the sunshine back.
Okay. Now, when we go to your website, pureorlene.com, tell us what we're going to find there. I know that you have your books and interviews, and actually previous interview here of the show up, and you talk about, you know, what you do. But how do you connect with people via your website?
How do I connect with people? Well, the main thing I do is offer a little bit about who I am. And with the who I am, I have different kind of things. I have one particular thing that I haven't talked very much about, and you've mentioned that Cullen and I bring forth the Pleiadian wisdom, but there's another voice that started coming to me, a voice of divine wisdom, divine feminine wisdom, that started coming to me about 4 years ago, and there are recordings of that very powerful voice that tell us about what we need to do that comes channeled through me, so that is available on the website. I also offer alternative health consultations. I do personal consultations for whatever problems people might be having. I do intuitive readings. I do astrology charts that's based on the calendar that we were speaking about earlier, mm-hmm. The energy that we carry for who we are and how that energy affects our relationships with others. So those are some of the things that you will find, along with articles that I've written or blogs or books that are available, interviews that have been done, like your radio interview, which you mentioned. So all of that is there. And then there's a link to our other website for people who want to explore the Pleiadian wisdom. There's a link there as well.
Okay. And talk to us a little bit more about the wonderful book and calendar that you've produced.
The book and calendar that Cullen and I have just recently published is about bringing in, it's called Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology, Charting the Spirals of Consciousness. And it actually takes this book of Sacred Retreat, where we're looking at the cycles of life on Earth, to the cosmic level, where we're looking at cycles of spiraling around in our conscious evolution. And it shows how to understand more about the energy that is present each and every day and in each and every person, so that we can make more conscious and empowering choices and have a life that's more fulfilling. The book explains the cosmic energies, the energies that we live here on Earth, and it shows how they interrelate with each other. And the calendar goes along with it so that you can look at the energy, which is described in the calendar on each day, the energy is described. So you can get kind of a sense about learning to gauge our lives through energy rather than linear time. Time is an illusion. We think it's real, but if you want to think that time is real, stop and ask yourself, where does it go?
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Where does it go? And what piqued my curiosity on your website was the evolutionary shadow cycles. Tell us about that.
That's part of the Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology. We are, as cyclical beings and as cosmic beings, we are here aligned with a particular cosmic energy, each of us, and a particular earth energy, each of us. And that's how we get our lessons and how we learn and how we provide our service here in human form. The evolutionary shadow cycles are a period that happens to each of us about every 60 days where old patterns come to the surface, old belief systems come to the top, and we may be particularly emotionally or physically uncomfortable. Something needs to change. Most of us, when we experience these, because we don't know what they are, think we're having a period of bad luck, or Cullen likes to call them bad hair days, where everything's falling apart. But actually, are not just challenges, they're opportunities. The Pleiadians have taught us that emotions, which they describe as frustration, anger, grief, jealousy, all the things that make us uncomfortable, aside from our feelings of love, joy, bliss, the positive feelings, the emotions are the uncomfortable ones. And they say that the emotions are signposts that we're out of balance. Now, in an evolutionary shadow cycle, you're most likely going to feel a potential buildup of something that's not working in your life, and some pattern's going to come to the surface, and you're going to be extremely emotionally uncomfortable. But if you know it's coming, you know what to look for, you know what you're working on, all of a sudden windows and doors fly open, and you can make changes. You can say, ah, I see what I need to change. I see what's out of harmony. So the shadow cycle, sometimes that we can fall in love with ourselves because we're changing everything that's inhibiting us, everything that's holding us back.
Okay, so it's important just to be aware. Be aware of who you are, where you are, why you are, and stay in the flow. Tia, what words of wisdom would you like to leave with the audience before we say good night tonight?
The first thing I would like to say is to remember to breathe. Just breathe, and remember that on that breath, there's two parts of it. There's the taking in and the letting out. And the more you get in harmony with that rhythm, the more your life is going to flow. And the second thing I'd like to leave you with is learn to listen more deeply to yourself and to your heart. Because when you do that, you can listen to everybody else more fully and completely, and we can move more into how we can cooperate with each other with compassion and love. I'm here to help us all build a world of more harmony and more peace. Less war, less struggle, less strife. A world that is what we all want, ultimately, where abundance comes from the heart because we're sharing with one another.
Okay, very well said. Folks, we've been speaking with Dr. Pia Orlean. We've been talking about her latest book, and that is Sacred Retreat, Using Natural Cycles to Recharge Your Life. In the beginning of this year, 2019, it's going to be imperative that you become grounded, that you get into the cycle, and that you be in the flow. Because as you embrace that, you stay in the flow, life will be a little bit easier for you. You know, you're going to have the ups and downs no matter what. That's how we get our lessons. But they're not going to feel so harsh to you. So go out and get this book. It's an easy read. She gives a lot of examples in it, and it will speak to your heart. So, Pia, thank you for being with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Monique. Always, it's a pleasure to be on your show and share with your listeners.
Well, thank you. And to the listeners, thank you for being with me today as we collectively get over it and embrace a sacred retreat. I am truly honored to have your time and attention. Now, if you're looking to live a little bit of more balanced life, you can give me a call for an intuitive consultation. Consultations that are 30 minutes or longer are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.